Welcome into the sports.
You know what? Screw that. Celebration today, everybody. Celebration of the Super Bowl is here. The parade was today. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and we got the best team.
What is going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Welcome on into the Champions edition of the Sports Buffoons here out of Lenexa, Kansas, of course, once again. What is going on, fellas, out there and the fans of the world? What's good? What's up?
What's up, everybody?
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, guys? Did we win? Did we win?
Well, the last time we might have won this right now, dude.
The last time I checked, Patrick Mahomes had was running on one leg and he didn't, one of his ankles was broken. Can he run?
It was one foot.
The last time I checked, he's not allowed to run or he's not capable of running. So did I miss something or is he running now?
I think you got too drunk during the game. So that's what I think about that. So anyways, you guys, we have a lot to talk about today, I suppose, especially on a parade day celebration of the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, of course, Super Bowl 57 in the books, gosh darn it, which means we're having some sippy sips and some drinky drinks. Tanner spent some time down at the parade today. Tater, how'd that go?
I did. Actually, that was a blast. That was really cool to see all the cool Chiefs fans out there in the crowd. We kind of went through the bottom portion of it, got a little bit, you know, stuck for a bit. But let me tell you what, turnout was amazing. Seeing the Chiefs fans were amazing. Nothing but respect across the board for everybody. Couldn't ask for anything better. Plus, seeing just everybody rolling was the coolest thing.
I heard only 23 children went missing. So that's not a bad number, right? So it's a Jordan number. So that means it's a great time. But they were all found apparently by their parents. So that's the good news. But I was curious what you thought about all that, Tanner. So you were only there for a little while, right?
No, we were there.
What did you see that stood out the most from being at the parade?
So we were there from 11:45, I'd say. And then stayed there the whole entire time, of course, to the parade. What really just stood out to me was just the Chiefs, like general Chiefs fans in general, just being there, supportive for their team. You know, they did the chop a few times and it was just as loud as the first time, as the second time, as the third time. Couldn't ask for anything better. Like I said, very respectful too, going across crowds, trying to cut in, trying to get a spot. I honestly couldn't really ask for anything better in a parade.
That's good. That's good to hear, because some cities maybe don't celebrate in the same way, maybe a little less classy in that regard, and maybe be more into destroying your own town. You know, some places do that for fun, I guess. Not to name any names, but, you know, there's a few out there.
I've heard, like, you know, a lot of cities, they like to climb up the light poles and things like that, which I think it's an interesting idea. I would never do it, but... like I said, I would never live in that city either. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So we did hear some speeches. I got one for you guys if you're willing to listen to it here.
Oh yeah,
that we can listen to here. As I turn around.
Hey, hey, Kansas City, baby,
Big Red,
we love you. How about a hand for these guys right here, huh? Hey, let's give them one. A little bit of that. How about the Chiefs on three? One, two, three. How about those Chiefs? Hey, hey. All right, so listen, we appreciate everything that you did for us. The support's been phenomenal. This parade is second to none, man. It's the best in the NFL right here. You should be proud of yourselves.
So that was Coach Reed there for a little bit.
I felt like I listened to all the speeches today, obviously. I felt like some of these guys were maybe a little uptight with some of their words. I think some of them were holding back a little bit. So I'm not sure. I think Kelce did an awesome job and he had a good time with what he was doing. I think Mahomes was maybe a too too few Coors Lights in to really put out a really, really educated amount of words, I guess, at the time, which, hey, so, man, I don't give a damn. You had 12 Coors Lights. I don't care.
Could you blame him, though? Like, that's not his job. Well, his job is to bring home the fucking trophy.
Right.
Like,
bring home the trophy. After that, go get your
trophy. So here's my home. Trophy.
Back to Kansas City. Back to this organization.
Too full.
What's
up, champ?
Most important thing Super Bowl I wanted champ. To do was get the Lombardi trophy for the greatest coach of all time, Andy Reid, baby. This season, the adversity we deal with the injuries. I mean, my knee was in the side of my leg, but we still went back and we won the Super Bowl. We the champs, baby.
I love it, man.
That was Mr. Mahomes.
What do you expect him to say? Really?
Let's save Kelsey for just a second from now. I want to ask you guys real quick. So I know you were out for a bit. What are you guys sipping on, though, for the rest of the show today?
I don't even know, man. I don't care.
You don't even know?
I've got whiskey right here.
Well, I was sitting here. I was thinking I got myself a little green ball of something. I'll call it Eagle Tears.
When you got my homeboy, when you got my homeboy on your team, you don't really care what you're sipping on. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you guys something right the fuck now. Okay. To quote the great Wally Backman, it's not easy to be a fucking champion, right? It's the hardest thing in the world that you can do. And the only way that you can be a fucking champion is to work your fucking ass off. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did this year. Okay.
Yeah.
From the top down.
Right.
We can start with ownership down to Brett Veach to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, all the way down to the fucking ball boy and the training staff, whoever you want to throw out there. They worked their fucking ass off. And you know what? We deserve this fucking championship. The Chiefs deserve this fucking championship. And I don't want to hear anything for the rest of my life about referees. You know why? Because I don't care. Right? The referees, they do what they do. We earned this fucking championship. I'm telling you from a personal perspective right here, I am grateful for the Kansas City Chiefs organization, and I am grateful to be a Chiefs fan right now, because like that's the best feeling in the world. And I'm so grateful right now. But let's not talk about the refs. I don't want to hear about this shit, because I've heard about that shit for my whole life. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We are the champions of the world, and we're going to take that shit to the bank.
Swear to me.
Yeah, I like a lot of what you're saying right there, man, because this team from the top to bottom really is spectacular at what they do. I mean, just from everything about the ownership of Clark Hunt and the amount of effort and care he gives to making this a quality team from, you know, ever since he took over for Lamar. It's been incredible, and he's heard us as fans. He's heard our complaints and whining and crying in the past, you know, during the Pioli era, and he fixed it. And Andy Reid came in, and you know, that guy has a staff that knows what to expect. This is incredible from the top down, and that includes Rick Burkholder, you know, our strength and conditioning coach.
Tremendous.
That includes guys like that, you know, work on our field. Arrowhead Stadium is one of the best playing surfaces in the entire NFL. Like, this is a very, very special. This is the smartest freaking organization in the entire NFL. And I would love to sit down with anyone and go over that with them, because I don't think anyone realizes a lot of the behind the scenes little things are just immaculate what the Chiefs do and accomplish here as a team. Because we all see the obvious things, you know, such as your Mahomes and Kelsey's and Andy Reid's of the world. But it's the little things that make this team so freaking special, and why they are now two Super Bowl championships in 4 years. It's awesome.
So Super Bowl champion fan, Tufel, as he's a Chiefs fan, over or under 7 Super Bowls for Mahomes.
That's a steep one, guys.
That's a lot.
I mean,
that's
you're talking about tying Tom Brady. I don't know if I can go. I'll give you guys this. How about a little more of a realistic argument, I guess, real quick. 4.5. How's 4.5 sound for Mahomes? He's 27 years old. Probably could play till he's 40.
27 now.
Somewhere around there.
5 AFC championships. I'll take the over.
Over on the 4.5?
Yeah.
What do you think? Over the 4.5?
4.5. I thought you said it at 7.
Well, Tufel asked, yes, said over under 7, but it was
a loyal listener. So dude, thank you so much.
To be honest with you, like, I don't care if it's 4.5 or if it's 7. I will take the under because there have been so many naysayers since the preseason on this guy, right? They said, oh, well, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Well, he's not going to do shit this year because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to take the under because the more naysayers that you can have against Patrick Mahomes, the better, because he hears all of this shit, right? And he uses that as bulletin board material. He doesn't need the motivation, but the more wood that you can throw on the fire, the better. So I will take the under.
Holy I'll go Santa under. Claus shit.
I'll take under 4.5.
Is this really you know what just happened right now?
I am a true Chiefs fan. And the more I can do to motivate this guy, you know, let's do it, man. I'll take, you know what, Patrick Mahomes, you'll be lucky to get 3, bro. Let me see it.
This is ridiculous. I can't believe you picked the Eagles. You picked the Bengals. Yeah. You rooted against Mahomes. And now you're picking him to
and now
not win another one?
Under for
dude,
Mahomes.
Dude, let me tell you this right now. It's all about motivation. And I'm all about motivating my team. And I'm going to throw one other thing out there, right? So everybody, including myself, was talking about the Michael Jordan flu game, Game 5, 1997 NBA Finals. You know what? He didn't have the flu. He had food poisoning, and that was it. You know what Patrick Mahomes did this year? That was the Patrick Mahomes flu game, except he did it twice. He was injured in 2 consecutive games. He played on one leg for 2 consecutive games. Don't tell me about the Michael Jordan flu game, okay? This is a whole nother level with this guy, okay? He played on one leg for 2 consecutive games. So I don't tell me about the Michael Jordan flu game, okay? This is a different level. This, you know, and please, Nick Sirianni, please don't tell me about how, you know, Jalen Hurts is Michael Jordan, okay? Like that, like wait, that's just. I got so pissed off when I heard that.
Oh no, yeah, that's nonsense.
I was so fucking pissed, but my gosh, like the more motivation that you can give Patrick Mahomes, the better, guys. So the more shit I can talk on this fucking team, the better, because Patrick Mahomes is the real deal, man. He wants that motivation. The more I can piss him off, the better, because he's going to take it to the bank and he's going to prove everybody, all 3 of us fuckers right here and everybody else out there in the world, he will prove you wrong. So the most negative shit that you can say on Patrick Mahomes, go ahead and do it, because that will actually help him.
Eat shit, Derek.
I got a different question. I'm going to ask Tanner since he was there. So Tanner, do you think over under 12.5 Coors Lights for Mahomes on the float today?
I take on the float?
On the float, 12.5.
Or total?
Well, total would put it more towards 19.5.
I would take the over on the 19.5.
Over 19.5? On the float, do you think it was...
I couldn't tell you on the float because
it's a 2-hour float.
Correct. And I didn't really see... It was actually an hour and a half they got there at 1:30.
So
it started at 12.
So
12 to 1:30. I would say the under on the 12.
I could bet Mahomes could do more.
It was close, but I would definitely give the over.
You're saying on the actual bus, it would have been like under 12.5 Coors Lights within an hour and a half. But you think overall total,
like before the bus, during the bus,
and then during the rally,
before they came on stage, because after they came on stage,
you know, there was a few moments where you couldn't see Mahomes on camera. He was in the back waiting. You know, there was some pounding going on.
You know, there was a bunch going on.
You're saying over 19.5.
I'm going over 19.
I believe it. Because I love
Mahomes.
Absolutely. On the Coors Lights. I bet he drank more Coors Lights. I don't know, Creed Humphrey. I don't know how many he drank maybe today, but he could probably outdo him sitting there at a bar.
Let me ask you guys this question. So, like, Mike, you and I were bouncing this back and forth earlier today. What do you think is more important to Mahomes, to pass Tom Brady in terms of Super Bowls or to be a better drinker in terms of how fast can you pound a beer? Because I feel like it's all about Super Bowls, right, for Mahomes. But I feel like Tom Brady is probably the fastest beer drinker that I've ever seen.
Let's dance, dickweed.
Well, I wouldn't want to challenge Tom Brady to a beer chugging contest because, first of all, I'm terrible at that. But
not at all.
I think Mahomes is probably more concerned with winning as many Super Bowls as he possibly can. Not that he's going to sit there. I'll tell you this. He's got 2, right? He's not worried about 7 right now. He's worried about getting that 3rd. That's all he cares about. He said at the rally, he's like,
the
he's like,
next
it's just
one.
It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of this dynasty. That's right. You fucks. Yes. I'll call this a dynasty.
Yeah, and Mahomes hates that word. Hey, he did not want to talk about dynasty because you know why? We're not done.
Don't tell Skip that though.
It's a dynasty.
Skip doesn't think it's a dynasty, and he doesn't believe in Mahomes. So
do you not believe in dynasties then? Because what's it required? Is it three?
He kind of reminds me sometimes when Jason talks.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing.
What
is the bare minimum for a dynasty, and what is the okay for sure you've made it in?
I heard it was three.
Everyone says three, but here's the thing. After three, those teams have gone to die. In most cases.
Correct.
Not saying all of them, but most cases. Like it's hard to get to that four and five in most cases, like with that same core group, within that same time frame. You know what I mean? We're like, for the Chiefs, I'm like, you know, five straight AFC Championship games in Kansas City, three Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowl wins. He's 27 years old. We have the core of this team still freaking here for quite a while. Tell you what, Chris Jones ain't going anywhere. Travis Kelce ain't going anywhere. And this team was in as Mahomes even said during his speech today, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah, it was supposed to be rebuilding year.
This team's about to get better. When we have the draft here in Kansas City, we freaking run this thing. We run the league right now.
Nobody touches us.
This is our league right now, and no one else can tell us anything different.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.
I would say you can go ahead and call it a dynasty right now because I remember you guys know I'm a Spurs fan from back the mid-2000s when the Spurs went to three championships. They basically won three championships in 5 years. And back then they were saying, oh, we don't know if this is a dynasty or not. Well, it was a dynasty. But when I look at the Chiefs, it's like, dude, you hosted five straight AFC championships like in your house. And so to me, this is definitely a dynasty. But if I'm talking to Patrick Mahomes, I want to talk as much shit as possible. Be like, dude. No, it's not. And I hope that people put that out there. People, you know, like people like Bart Scott. Yeah. Bart Scott's the world. Those guys that said, you know, I'm pretty sure that Bart Scott said the Chiefs wouldn't even make the playoffs this year.
Correct. And Macho, I believe.
And I thank those guys. I'm happy that those guys said that because that's the kind of bullshit that when you hear that, it motivates you. And so I hope they keep saying that shit. But for me, it is a dynasty because if you host five straight AFC championships and you get two and you made it to three, that is a dynasty. And, you know, I want to see us improve. I'm just like Patrick Mahomes. Like, I want to see the team get better. But at the same time, like, that is a dynasty.
So
I would just like someone to clarify it for me because just in my opinion, looking at it, it looks like a dynasty to me. But it's like people are like scared to say it. So it's like, okay, if you go to the Super Bowl next year, let's just say, for instance, for argument's sake, and you lose that game. So that's still four Super Bowls in a matter of 5 years. Is that still part of a dynasty or is that, oh, we can't call it that because you didn't win it?
Like, well, let's think about it this way, because let's just imagine that it stops right now. Okay. That's the worst case scenario. Like we'll never even make it ever again. You just hosted five straight AFC championships and you won two Super Bowls. Let's just take a step back. Let's compare that to the Buffalo Bills of the 1990s. They went to four consecutive Super Bowls. That was a great team. Not a good team. That was a great team. We do not think of them as a dynasty. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, they got the job done two times in 5 years or two times in 4 years, however you want to look at that. Like, to me, that is a dynasty, but I'm kind of in that Patrick Mahomes mindset where I don't really care what happened. You know, I care about this year, but I don't care about the last 4 or 5 years. I care about next year. My mindset is how do we get better next year? And that's where the focus is going to be for the Chiefs. But in terms of looking back, absolutely, man. They are a dynasty right now, but I don't think us as Chiefs fans, that's not where our mindset should be. Our mindset is how do we get better every single year? Don't look on the past. I don't care. Yeah, we accomplished a lot of great things, but who gives a shit? Tell me how I'm going to get better next year. And that's what I care about right the fuck now. And I think that's what Patrick Mahomes is thinking about right now.
Yeah, this team's so damn young, and we have a lot of picks coming up in this year's draft too. I think 12 more picks here in Kansas City, and it's going to be a crazy thing to see unfold. And it's going to make Brett Veach's job really hard when it comes time for cut day during training camp, because you got a lot of amazing You got young talent you didn't think was gonna happen.
In this next 70 days, it's a lot of hard decisions to make. Are you gonna resign? Are you gonna have to let go, let walk because of certain contract and money? Like, you got 12 draft spots to replace essentially anybody that doesn't sign.
But your core is not going anywhere. You're keeping your core around.
But you got to also look at extending guys, right? So we got to look at contract extensions and stuff like that. Like, this next 70 days isn't going to be a cakewalk for Veach at all.
No, I mean, he's definitely got work. Here's the thing for Brett Veach, like, the season itself is kind of like a fun time period of, you know, doing your best addition subtraction and trying to massage the roster, as we like to talk about, and you know, over the course of the season. But it's like right now, this coming week is when Brett Veach does the most of his work when it comes to, you know, speaking with the scouts at all times, staying involved with what they're looking at and what they're going towards. Because we have a lot of regional scouts out there, obviously, and Veach will be interacting with them every single day. So the job of a GM, you know, is never over.
This is where his season begins.
Where the fun begins.
So
yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna be a tough one, I believe, at that, but a very entertaining one could be this year.
Yeah.
Cause you gotta look at too, right? We got Nick Bolton. We gotta look at, hey, are we gonna extend him? We're keeping on his rookie deal. You know, Chris Jones is starting to get past that point.
Yeah, no, so, I think there's a lot of moves potential to make. The rumor right now is we're looking at re-signing Juju Smith-Schuster for what I'm expecting somewhere in the 3-year range. And then for Orlando Brown Jr., the current rumor is we want to franchise tag him again.
Yeah.
Which might piss him off, but you know, look, he's going to get paid highly for 1 year again. And if he plays a high level, then finally, we will give him that huge 6-year contract that he's begging for. So,
well, let's talk about Juju for a minute, because he's been in the news in terms of that Twitter beef going back and forth. What do you guys think about his Twitter beef on the fact that he said that, you know, like, basically he got held and James Bradberry said, yeah, I held him. Like, what do you guys think about that? Because the world is making more out of this than it actually needs to be, because James Bradberry said, yeah, I held him, and everybody in the world thinks that that was a true hold. Do you think that that was just like a bullshit call, or do you think it was like a legitimate call? Because I feel like everybody's talking about the call. Like, what happened on that call? Like, did the referees,
we're talking the about game? The holding, like, call, right?
The holding call,
not
but
the,
like,
fumble that was returned back to.
No, I just, I want to know about the holding call, because, like, I'm probably the one person in the world that is responsible for this shit, because I tell you guys every fucking week that this game is rigged.
You want two
fumbles. And, you know, the NFL is rigged and all this shit. And I'm partially responsible for this stuff, but, like, was that a fixed call, or what do you guys think about that?
Look, I'm not going on about the call with you. You can ask me that question 24 days of Sunday.
Better, but it's not the wrong call.
I'm not arguing with that call with you. We can banter for a minute if you want about the Twitter thing, because I felt kind of like Jeff Allen, former Chiefs guard. I felt like it was maybe unnecessary to go out there and throw a little jab at James Bradberry, just because Bradberry and the Eagles themselves. I want to say this real quick, just as a football fan. That Eagles organization handled this loss as classy as I've ever seen a team handle a Super Bowl loss in my life. And especially after dealing with the Bengals and their bitch asses, the Eagles handled this freaking loss amazingly.
Yeah.
And James Bradberry handled it amazingly as well. So I want to give a lot of credit to Nick Sirianni, the way he handled it and the questions they had to answer after the game. And James Bradberry owning up to the fact that he did, you know, grab on that route. And he did tug. He did grab the hips on that route. You know, it was all part of it. It was part of the holding on that play. But like the Twitter thing that Juju put out, as far as, you know, the Valentine's Day mocking him about holding him or whatever. I felt like it was like a little unnecessary. But AJ Brown is the one who got all the attention afterwards, because he's the one that called him out about it.
Correct.
Because AJ Brown got on there and was basically like, You know,
like, bro,
like, yo, TikTok boy, yo, TikTok boy, you know, basically telling him your ass was on your way out of the league until Mahomes saved you, basically. And that's essentially what he was saying. And, you know, he said that, you know, Bradbury owned up to it and said he did hold this and that. So I think AJ Brown was a little sensitive to what happened to that tweet, which I get that. I understand being sensitive in that moment. You're probably still pissed off about the loss. You're probably still mad. You lost by 3 points on the last second field goal in large part due to that call, right?
Yep.
Which was the right call.
Yep.
So anyways, I feel like Juju can do a little better going forward. He likes to have fun. I know Juju's playing around on Twitter and this and that. And AJ Brown's pissed off right now about the loss still. But I just want to say that, you know, hopefully it's something that Juju can learn going forward. Maybe pick your moments, pick your spots and go at them. But this maybe wasn't one of those spots.
Here's Mike. When you ask him any question about the call, essentially.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I agree with you, Mike. Yeah, like
pretty much
the Eagles. The Eagles team.
I love that one so much.
The Eagles handled it well, but I'm just trying to figure out why Juju put that out there. I'm trying to figure out why Brittany Mahomes put a tweet out there. I'm like, this is like, that's the worst thing that you could ever do.
No, it's not.
Put that stuff out there.
It's just what Juju will do. That's what he's done all his career.
I know, but why is Brittany Mahomes asking for apology? Like, there's,
from who?
We don't. From Bart Scott of ESPN, because
who cares?
He picked the Chiefs not to even make the playoffs.
Is Jackson Mahomes going after Ocho or whatever.
I just feel like the best.
I can care less what they say.
The best thing that you can do is not put tweets out there just to move on and look forward
to
next year.
Guys, first of all, Brittany Mahomes has also been known for being quite a tweeter, getting out there and making plenty of tweets. She probably doesn't need to be making whatever, but it's her Twitter, it's her life, and she can.
But you're putting a target. You're putting a target on his back for next year. What's the fucking point?
She does it every
year. The most hilarious part of that, though, and him and his family, because you have this strange dynamic for Mahomes, and to where it's like Mahomes is literally the picture perfect, freaking amazing quarterback. Says all the right things, does all the right things at any given moment. Lets the play out on the field. Never cocky off the field. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is literally perfection of a quarterback. You don't want anything different about him whatsoever. But then he's got this dumbass brother who wants to get on TikTok all day and try to get in front of the camera and be annoying.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And you got Brittany, who's out there shouting around all day and making a big scene all the time, it seems like, especially before the kids, by the way.
Oh, fuck, say it!
And then you got, obviously, his dad, who some people think, you know, goes out and says immature things here and there, smoking on this Joe Burrow, smoking on this Philly blunt. And then you got the mom. You got the mom, you know, who some people don't like her political views. And it's just like this whole freaking circus of what people are having problems with his family. It cracks me the hell up as a fan.
Funny.
As a fan of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I don't give a goddamn. People, look, guys, wake the fuck up. People are weird, okay? People are strange. People all have their issues. And obviously this family does, but I don't give a goddamn.
They do.
I don't care.
They, at least at some point they could learn their lesson and stop being cocky all the time. Like Patrick Mahomes.
Were they not? Hold on. Was Jackson not banned from all the Chiefs games this year? Yes, he was. So Patrick kept him away all year long. Tanner kept his ass in LA.
Yep.
I just wish these people would keep their mouth shut, because
you know they're not going to.
Patrick Mahomes.
Chris Jones had to get Colin Saunders off of freaking Twitter midseason.
You guys will remember this. Patrick Mahomes did have one cocky moment in his career, and that's when they asked him about Justin Herbert. And he said, yep, I'll believe it when I see it. He learned a good lesson out of that.
Sure.
And he will never say that bullshit ever again. Meanwhile, you got all these people around him, including his family, that can't keep their fucking mouth shut. I'm just like, I'm glad that they were able to keep their mouth shut before he won the Super Bowl. But it's okay to keep your mouth shut after you win the Super Bowl, too, because you don't want a target on this guy's back. Like, he played in the Super Bowl injured.
Here's the thing. People take their hate of Patrick Mahomes out on his family because there's nothing you can hate about Patrick Mahomes himself.
Right.
Zero things. So they just go after his family and everything else because that's their only options to come after. So I think it's It's quite a dynamic.
I just don't want people from the family adding fuel to the fire for, you know, for the other side. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, be all players, siblings, and friends, I mean, and whatever. They're going to add
fuel. Aaron and Jordan had problems too, you know, as brothers.
Yeah.
Those guys, for some reason, didn't get along. I'm not sure really why all that was at the end of the day, but that's just a family that's been torn apart. They're just not out in the public nearly as much. And what we see in the public with Aaron is his weird mushroom thing.
Darkness.
And his all of his strange girlfriends who have weird names like Spirit, Eye, and Earth, like just stuff like that. We see that a lot.
Aaron Rodgers going to the Raiders next year.
Oh, man. Hey,
look, we're going to save that for another day.
Let me bring that up here, though, too. Like,
no, he wants to bring it up.
People, not that part, but the other teams is what I want to bring up. Other, like, people have been talking like, enjoy your championships until Mahomes hits the salary cap. This guy's been hitting the salary cap. Your quarterbacks and rookies are on rookie deals. You're getting ready to hit that momentum, and you can't even win the Super Bowl. You can't even get past Mahomes.
Tanner, here's what I'll say about that. Here's what those people fail to realize. The Chiefs just freaking nailed seventh-round draft picks.
Correct.
Most teams
correct
do not nail them for 5, 6, 7 years in a row. We nailed 2, maybe even 3 in one draft.
Well, I don't get, why are we worrying about Patrick Mahomes' salary cap?
No, we don't care.
My point is the drafts, the last two drafts from Brett Veach have been incredible.
Yes.
21 of the 22 players from the last two drafts have made an impact on this current roster.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
You don't get that in other places.
That is how you still continue to pay a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and then sustain that success around
him. Can I put this even further for you? This is without being having a top 10 pick, a top 15 pick.
Well, sure. I mean, we're never going to have one again for a while.
That's what I'm saying. Without a top 15 pick, and we're still nailing these guys.
Yeah.
With the draft.
I'll tell you right now, I don't care. I don't care about the hit on the salary cap for Mahomes, okay?
The most important thing
for me is like...
That's the last of our worries.
I hope you guys, all these other fans of these other teams are a bunch of haters because we want these teams to get better. You know what? You know why? Because when all these other teams get better, that's going to give more competition for the Chiefs. And the more competition you get for the Chiefs, the better we're going to get. And so
it's going to become bigger. I want these teams to get better for more teams now.
To be totally honest, where that whole idea stems from is Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And it comes from the Seahawks. It comes from the fact Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl at such a young age on a contract that cost them nearly nothing as a third round pick for Seattle. And they had all this talent around them, of course, at that time, especially defensively. You had the Legion of Doom. You had freaking Cam Chancellor out there. And, of course, in their prime.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch was part of that roster, of course. But just the corners in that were just incredible. I mean, remember Brandon Browner?
Yep. Browner and Sherman on the
Richard
corners.
Sherman, of course, and the linebackers with Wagner and all that. And, like, you have to pay all these guys. Of course, you have to pay all these guys. And then it's like, okay, Russell Wilson won that Super Bowl during that rookie contract, then gets big paid, and then the defense starts to leave. Here's the difference of the Chiefs. We got to worry about keeping Chris Jones on this team. He's a major difference maker on this roster. Nick Bolton will be kept,
yep,
regardless. But like the rest of this team right now is so young. It's not something you have to worry about right now. And the Chiefs have 12 freaking draft picks coming up this season. Like, come on, like this thing is gonna last quite a while. Mahomes might be getting paid $47 freaking million dollars next year, which he is. That's not gonna matter.
This team hasn't
that we just saw this year was probably worse than the team we're gonna see next year. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane.
Well, so the
like,
other
screw
thing,
the whole idea of, you know, once you're paid,
but
it's over.
But now you're gonna see guys like Cincinnati, Los Angeles Chargers. Josh Allen has an increase in his pay coming next year. Like all these teams, there's going to be a lot of pressure on their GMs to be able to make, you know, compete back with the Chiefs with less.
And the other thing about the Chiefs roster is like they had the third most rookies.
Yeah, we're one of the youngest teams
in the league. You know what the top two teams were? The fucking Bears and the Houston Texans. How did that work out? The Chiefs did this. They won the damn Super Bowl. Having the third most rookies like on their starting roster in the league. Like now all of a sudden now, like it's just, what are you going to do? You know, like the Chiefs did that with all these rookies. Meanwhile, the Bears and the Houston Texans sucked ass.
Yeah.
And we won the damn Super Bowl. So it's like, it's all about how do you stop the Chiefs? Like I compare it to like the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point you got to figure out a way to stop the best team in the league.
I put out a tweet a few years ago. This was actually before we took Patrick Mahomes. Just my belief of what a franchise quarterback means to a team. And a franchise quarterback, when you have a franchise quarterback, means you have an opportunity each and every season to go deep in the postseason or win a Super Bowl in any given year, regardless of the talent around you. Mm-hmm. That's to me what a franchise quarterback means. And that's to me what, you know, even in Green Bay situation with Aaron Rodgers. And even though as much of a screw up as he is in the playoffs, that team for so long has been great at getting to the postseason. It means he's giving you a chance. He's giving you a chance. Right?
They did have a chance.
That goes for any situation with franchise quarterbacks. That goes for the Tom Brady's of the world. Goes for the Ben Roethlisberger's of the world. Just those kind of guys that are franchise quarterbacks, it doesn't really matter what is failing around you. You have a chance any given season to be in the Super Bowl.
Trevor Lawrence had a chance this year.
Well, he's only in year two. I give a lot of credit to Trevor Lawrence and his progression from year one to year two.
That bounce back from what he went through?
I think Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
I believe in him.
He's got a great coach. That's the most important thing.
What you're going to see, though, is you're going to see a lot of Jaguars-Bengals games that are going to be pretty wild. Because
dogfights.
You got Trevor Lawrence right now convincing me you have potential to be upside of Joe Burrow. I mean that.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. So – I gotta catch up on comments real quick. So Two Fools says, can we cut MBS? Won't happen, but
we're gonna hold on to him.
He says, bring on Hopkins, cut MBS.
Oh, bring on Hopkins. Yeah, that's a different discussion, man.
Look, I like Hopkins a lot. I've been a fan of him for years, but I just don't know what's gonna happen. We have to give out draft picks for Hopkins, right? Right?
I would.
Don't we have to trade for him?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I don't like the age of DeAndre Hopkins. I would much rather draft a younger cock on my team than to bring on a DeAndre Hopkins who's probably on the backside of his career.
He seems to miss a lot of games. I do want to point that out.
So Tuval says, I swear everyone on this channel, Let's Talk Sports, and those I've seen on Twitter regarding sports podcasting are all high on the NBA references.
Thank you
for the days.
Thank you.
I don't know shit about it. Warriors comment, please put it in NHL terms.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
Avalanche type.
I'm lately. I don't know, man. Warriors
dynasty
would be more like Avalanche, I guess.
Yeah, I would say it's more like the Avalanche.
That sounds about right. But I'm kind of like here with you say his name's Tufel. Is that how you pronounce that? You think? Yeah, I'm kind of with him on the NBA thing. I'm still doing my best to get better at NBA knowledge, understanding the game. Me as being a newfound Suns fan of the last 3 years, obviously I'm excited about Kevin Durant, but I'm not by any means smart about basketball, and I fully admit that. I'm a pure football guy, which means, guys, in March, guess what? The NFL draft will be talked about quite a bit here on Wednesdays, so just to throw that out
there. So he's asking more of the terms, is the Chiefs similar to the Warriors in the NBA?
Yeah, I would say they are at this point because, you know, the Warriors, we all know that they're a dynasty. Now, when you talk about the Chiefs, there's a little bit, you know, everybody's questioning it. Mm-hmm. We don't know if they're a dynasty. If you walk up to somebody on the street and say, hey, are the Warriors a dynasty? Well, hell yeah, they are. There's no question about it. The comparison is
always Steph and Mahomes, right? That seems to be Mahomes is the Steph of the NFL, basically.
Steph
right?
makes magic happen. So, Mahomes makes magic happen.
It's just a little bit different because, like, when I look at the Super Bowl that the Chiefs lost, right, against Tampa Bay, in the NBA, it's completely different because in the NBA, the best team always wins that 7-game series. It doesn't matter, you know, I mean, I guess if there's a catastrophic injury, then maybe it matters. But if you're in the NBA, you're playing a 7-game series, the best team always wins that series. That's not true in the NFL. And so it's like you know like the Chiefs lost that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay because they had a shitty offensive line. I mean, we don't know what would have happened had that been a 7-game series. And so
I think it still would have lost.
It's yeah, maybe.
I think so.
But in the NFL though, you could still have players get injured though. Like, if that were a 7-game series, you could add defensive players on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get injured. So there's just no way to measure the NFL versus the NBA, but I will measure it because there's a lot of talk about DeAndre Hopkins, who is going to be 31 years old going into next season. Like, that's the other way I like to compare the NFL to the NBA. If I was in the NBA, okay, just throwing this out there, and I could bring a DeAndre Hopkins onto my team, I would totally do it in the NBA. If I were in the NFL, hell no, because he's going to be 31 years old. The average span of a player's career in the NFL is light years shorter versus a player in the NBA. So while DeAndre Hopkins is an elite wide receiver,
when he's
paper, on paper, hell yeah. If he was an NBA player, totally, I would trade the world to bring him on. He's basically like Kevin Durant, talent-wise. But in the NFL, it's a different story. We don't know if we're going to see this guy on the field. And so there's no way in hell, if I were the Chiefs, would I bring him onto my roster, because he is way past his prime. And he's probably, we don't know. I mean, he could be Sammy Watkins now, where he's only playing like 6 games a year. You don't want to trade assets for a guy like that if you're Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs want to draft. We want to draft the next DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, that's the goal of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. And DeAndre did go, if I remember right, late first round pick in the draft. And I think that's the key also to our point we said earlier about Mahomes and that big contract really coming into full effect this next season, is that you got to hit on these rookies. You got to hit on these playmakers. And, you know, maybe Sky Moore was not the, you know, prototype WR2, WR1 that you'd like to see. I wasn't the biggest fan of that pick necessarily when it happened, because I thought there was better guys on the board. But with that said, it's like, okay, you can go into the next season. You have him as a piece of the offense going forward. Maybe you can bulk up a little bit. Maybe you can get a little better. Who knows? But you're working with a lot right now in the draft with having all these picks, to where you're bound to hit on at least a few. Let's say Brett Veach has an off year in the draft, only takes out of the 12 picks currently, only hits on 5 of them, which would be an off year for Brett Veach. I mean, you're still just adding to the arsenal of what we currently have right now that are on rookie deals. And yeah, at some point they got to get paid, but that doesn't mean that the Chiefs can't now capitalize on this and win 1 more in a row, 2 more in a row, 3 in a row, be the first team to ever win 3 Super Bowls in a row. Never been done before. It's very possible, guys. It's very possible.
Now all of a sudden you're on Jordan's level at that point. If you win 3 Super Bowls in a row, in fact, you're better than Jordan at that point, because you don't have the luxury of a 7-game series.
Right. That's why there's always the argument though about Brady and Jordan crossing sports as far as who's the ultimate GOAT between those two. I have always explained that to you in the same way you're understanding right now, of the in the NBA, it's easier to win championships than it is in the NFL. I fully believe that. You got in the NFL, you just got too many guys around you that are always evolving, and too many 53 players versus a core of 5 to, you know, 8 on the court. It's more difficult, and it's more lopsided too, because I truly feel like in the NBA, you have the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows, not enough middle ground to make a difference. And I think in the NFL, there is a much more of a what's the word I'm looking for? It fluctuates a little more, but gosh, I blame the Eagle tears for my words not working right now.
Yeah, man, I think I totally agree with you on the fact that it's easier to repeat and have 3-peats in the NBA versus the NFL, only because it's happened, like, not a lot of times, but it happened with Kobe. It happened with Jordan twice. And that's just not something we see in the NFL. So I would say it's definitely slightly easier in the NBA than the NFL, but that doesn't mean it's easy in general, because you still got to get the job done.
Two Fools says Veach is a generational at minimum GM. The fact the Chiefs have that at least second best all time QB. I said it. And a top 3 coach all time.
Yeah, Andy Reid's absolutely proven himself at this point. now having those two rings, it should be looked at as a top three coach all the time.
Easily.
I think so.
Easily.
I think so. Absolutely. I don't want to say one thing. I think if you gave a seven, heck, even a five game series to every Patriots Super Bowl, Brady would have probably 9 or 10 rings right now. I just want to throw that out there randomly.
Because
those two Giants losses, I don't think that would have happened in a five game series.
No, I don't think they would. I just think it's hard to compare the two because in the NFL, all these players get so fucking banged up. You know, in the NBA, you know, it's like I talked about earlier, Michael Jordan had that quote unquote flu game in game five of like one game of his whole fucking career. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes playing on one leg for two consecutive games. I mean, if the Super Bowl were five games, I mean, Patrick Mahomes probably would have been done. I mean, so I just think it's like
two games.
It's just very difficult to compare. But like in the NBA, like I totally agree with you, Mike. The NBA is easier because you know all these fucking players are going to show up from game to game to game. And at the NFL, there's no guarantees. That's why it's a one game playoff for your life. And that's what I love about the NFL.
Yeah. Makes everything just that more intense. I'll put it that way for game to game. That's part of why I've always argued about baseball needs to reduce their damn games from cut that damn thing down to 90. And then I'll give a damn a little more about the baseball.
Baseball's a different story. Let's just leave that out.
We'll save that for a different day. Which reminds me, guys, we also got baseball season coming up, I guess. So we'll, as the spring rolls around, we'll get to talking about that as we talk about the NFL draft, of course. But I think we're all excited about the draft just because we're going to be there.
We're going to be there, dude.
We're going to get footage.
Media
of
passes.
The actual NFL draft.
I think we have a media pass, don't we?
Yes. We're going to be asking questions. Yes. And asking. We're going to be doing all that shit.
I actually do have a request for some we're, to get closer.
Yeah.
So. It's kind of like
I do get some stuff in it.
So. Is it not kind of like winning a Super Bowl, trying to get a media pass into the draft? It's very difficult, but we did it.
Pretty hard.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes. Either way, we're going to be there. And we already have plans for everything. So we're doing some footage for you guys out there. And it's going to be fun to follow along. And we've always, my dream, you know, growing up a Chiefs fan, those of you out there listening, you know as well as I do, your Christmas every year was the NFL draft. You know, the season would end. We'd be disappointed. We'd be disappointed every year when the season would end, right? We'd be sitting here with, you know, some years 2-14, you know, some years 8-8, whatever, you know, just kind of fluttering around a little bit. And it's like, oh, first thing we could think about is what draft pick, you know, we got? What are we going to take? Who are we going to do this with? And all that stuff. And like, that's all you cared about for about 2.5-3 months. You sit there, watch a combine like an idiot. And, you know, you just love it. You just love it. I love that Bill Burr special. He talks about fans who watch the NFL draft. And I always go back to this, and I love watching on YouTube. I'll pull
that's
it up.
A great one,
Bill Burr is sitting there, goes, what kind of freaking loser is going to sit there and watch 7 rounds of the draft? And they're going, with the 692nd pick in the 6th round, the New York Jets take. And, you know, I'm like, that's me. I'm that freaking loser. And,
I'll say this.
That was me forever.
I will say this.
Like, it's a part of the thing, but it's not as big of a deal to me.
I will say this. I got to give a shout out to Philly fans out there because they watch that shit every year and they boo the shit out of them. whenever their team drafts a player, that's the sign of a true fan. And that's why I love Philly fans. Like, even though they lost the Super Bowl this year, I'll give my shout at them because if you make a shitty ass pick, they will make you pay for it. And that's what I love about those Philly fans.
Love it.
I was hoping to
boo the hell out of them.
Tufel says he has a Chiefs tattoo. I'm getting mine updated, you guys. So the rule of my tattoo, if you follow along long enough. So I'm adding a feather for every Super Bowl we get.
That's called Shake Your Tail Feather, if you don't know the name of the song.
And I got this tattoo before we won the last Super Bowl. That was foreshadowing. Yes, I called it basically before the last Super Bowl we won. And I got the two feathers. I need to get now a third, probably back here. And I'm getting colored in. So this needs a little upgrade to it. We're getting some red and yellow added in and get that colored up a little bit better, of course. My boy Elmo out here in Kansas City is going to take care of it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that updated and upgraded for everything.
So, Tufel here says, media pass, you need a fourth investigative member, right? I have credentials. See my tattoo Chiefs logo circa 2001.
You got to pay us a grand, man. Or give me my
number 11 Elvis Gerback jersey. Wow.
Yeah. Dude, you can make that into a Marquez Valdez Scantling jersey.
Just what you want, right, Tufel?
Yeah, maybe $1,500. Yeah,
man, we'll let you know. If I get one of my passes, I'll let you know if I get an extra one. Get you out of here.
Very nice. Well, anyways, guys, I mean, we don't have a lot to talk about today other than the cheap stuff. So
can we finish out with Travis Kelce?
Oh, of course. We got to play the Kelce audio.
Get out here.
We still went back and we won the Super Bowl.
All right,
Bowl.
Nick Bolton
we're
first.
We're the champs, baby.
Yeah, I'll try to skip.
Love y'all. Thank you.
There's Kelce.
Can you dig it? I just want to say I love y'all. I love this. I love this team.
He was like, wait a minute.
I'm wearing about half the beers I've
He's
been trying
to drink.
He's
got that JG spirit in him.
It's been a long time coming. Because what did we do? We had to fight for our right to party. I don't know if you see this belt, but man, this belt got something on it. It's got the heavyweight champions of the world, baby. The heavyweight champions of the world. That memorial up there, I see everybody up there in that memorial. Don't nobody know we represent and honor every single veteran that went to war for us in World War I. What's good? What's good right here in the heart of America? Right here in the heart of America.
Respect.
21 years. How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, you know what I mean, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, 21 years. That's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do, we unleash a can of whoop-ass on everybody. 24-0, I ain't trying to hear it. Down 10, I ain't trying to hear it. Fourth quarter, 6 and whatever left on the clock. Down 10.
I'm proud of him for not cussing so much. Like I
we got
hard.
Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby. How about Sammy Watkins? Woo!
See,
how about Damian Williams?
That's the old one.
Woo!
Oh, it is.
How about my dog, 5-5?
So, Tanner, I knew it was the old one, by the way, when he said 20 down, 24 nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best time.
But
you knew.
There it is.
The Chiefs were going to get the number
Why'd you
one
say
seed.
Well, let me, that was a joy listening to it.
Go ahead,
I do love listening to it, man.
I knew it. You
but
knew
still,
it. But they ain't
Travis
know it.
Kelce, best speeches out there.
If y'all knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to win the MVP,
they kept editing his audio on there when
this
I was watching
so,
it live.
This is okay. KNBC9's YouTube. It's the only thing I could find.
Wow.
Oh, well, Tanner, you put on a news station's audio. I mean,
I can't find it. That's all there is.
Well, they're going through editing still or something.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, there's still more to come.
I'm still proud of him for not cussing like the Tourette's guy.
He did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it was fine. All he did was, you know, what was he saying? If you all knew, you know, the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl or whatever, give me a
Nah.
I heard him do that before the speech. Uh-huh. There was someone that did a like before the speech, and like he came out and he goes
Yeah. Oh, so what? Bolton was the one that started it a little bit.
Bolton, you think Bolton was
when
the one
he came out?
Did the It's funny because like Patrick Mahomes said,
he was the one that
Patrick Mahomes was like,
so
Bolton's kind of a quiet guy,
so,
we got to get him.
Guy. But when Bolton came out, he goes or whatever it was.
Okay,
and so Bolton started it.
Yeah, but why would you edit that shit? Like, that's offensive to me.
It's
like, seriously,
yeah.
Like,
guys,
that's just
guys,
so
you,
offensive.
You've been,
like,
look,
why would you edit?
We've been
that
doing
shit?
This shit for like, what's it been? It's been like 3 years, right? Almost 3 years.
Almost three years
or so. You know, we don't like to edit shit. We like to let our flags fly, and which means like if we want to say F bomb, we say an F bomb. I don't feel like it right now. That's why I said F and not fuck. But you know,
this isn't also PG.
I mean, what is
you know what I mean? This is not okay. PG, whatever. Family friendly, whatever the hell you want
to
call it.
It's not on public TV.
We're here to give you our true emotions. When the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, we want to hear and feel their true emotions as fans. So what? You got your 10-year-old out there. They've never heard bitch before. They've never heard shit before. Like,
no, dude. Whatever. I feel like that. Let me tell you what pisses me off. He probably said jabroni, and they edited that shit out.
He never said jabroni.
That actually. Shit pisses me off.
Right never there. Said jabroni.
I don't have a problem. I'm not here to be politically correct. That's not the lifestyle I'm all about. So I'm in favor of players being themselves after 10 Coronas, 10 Bud Lights, whatever the hell it is. I don't give a damn. Be yourself. That's what I want to see these guys do. That's what all of us want to see them do.
All right. Let's wrap her up, guys. Just want to say congratulations all to all you Chiefs fans, just like us. We are Super Bowl champions with our teams. What did he say? Oh, friendly as a 6-7-year-old, family friendly was fuck.
It was a sentence. It was a sentence, and I like the way he said
emotions in a shortened word. So
our follower here says that it's a sentence enhancer, or also could be a
emotions in a shortened
emotions word. Enhancer too, basically, in a lot of ways. Which is that's what I want to hear.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. So he's proving my point.
Correct.
That's exactly. It's a.
He's aware.
It's an emotion enhancer. You know, when we're on here and you get pissed off about whatever, and you know, you call Tanner a rat bastard. Well.
Gosh,
maybe he deserves it.
We
maybe
do have freedom of speech, bastard. You know, like just to be clear. Like,
all right, guys, Super Bowl celebration is over after this week.
I have one more question though.
Oh,
for us as a group, actually. So obviously we still are coming off the emotions of the Super Bowl victory, and we're just gonna enjoy the rest of this week as it is. But Sunday night when the Chiefs won that damn game, Butker made that field goal. And we stopped him on that squib kick.
Yes.
Well, where were you at on a level of 1 to 10 on excitement or drunkenness, whatever the hell you want to go by? What were you at? What level were you at?
I mean, I was just happy, man. Like happy and thankful. Like it was like I told you guys at the beginning of the show. I'm just so grateful that we are able to live in a city, Kansas City, where you know. We're just like any other city. Like we have our disagreements on, you know, views on whatever you want to throw out there, but we all believe in our Chiefs and we all are happy at the same time as the city of Kansas City. And we're all thankful and grateful and we're all on the same team. And that was my main thought, you know, after that game was over is like, hey, you know what? This is how Kansas City should be all of the time. Not some of the time. We should be like this every day of our lives. Just be thankful, grateful, and we are all one as Chiefs fans because we're the champs, bro. We won the whole damn thing.
I love it. Tanner, what were you going through? I know you watched the game out somewhere, right? What were you going through?
Oh, was at my parents' house.
After that moment where Butker made the field goal, we had the squib kick tackled. What happened?
I was so happiness level. I will give you that. I was a 69 out of 10.
Nice.
So yeah. And then, we actually went out and blew up a roll of firecrackers.
Ooh, yeah, very yard, nice. Man.
We couldn't find the M80.
No, M80 is going to say no. M80 is half stick dynamite.
My dad couldn't remember. Where he put it. So we did the firecrackers instead. So, but we went outside, screamed a little bit, threw the firecrackers out, had a blast with it.
I was so happy, dude. Like, I can't tell you how happy I was, but after I had like, 15 minutes to come down from that shit, I realized, my gosh, the NBA All-Star game is next weekend.
Shut up.
That was the first fucking thing that came to my mind, you asshole.
Oh, okay. So I don't want to hear about your ass with that shit. no. So anyways, my dad came to town here to Kansas City about 3 weeks ago or I guess it would have been a month ago now, but he got me some really nice champagne from a winery. And, you know, he told me when he gave it to me, he's just saying that, you know, basically I'm not allowed to open this until we win the Super Bowl. And, you know, he didn't know how long it could be, really. I mean, you know, maybe the Bengals really finally show up and get one on us on the playoffs again. And all this. So anyways, I brought it with me to the bar I was at, and you know, me and some friends had been hanging out all evening, watching the game, having a great time. So, you know, when that moment came, Bucker made that field goal, I ran to my car, got the champagne. Don't worry, I took Uber home. And so got that champagne, brought it back to my table, and the people around me at the table saw me get that champagne and start kind of twisting the top on it, but not popping it, just getting it ready, right? And they all start going, no, don't open it yet, don't open it. I was like, I'm not opening yet, don't worry. And there was two people next to me, a different group, who were asking me questions kind of about the game, about certain calls in the game and this and that. And I loved interacting with these random Chiefs fans also. So don't worry, when I popped that cork, I let them have a sip of that champagne too. So first people I grabbed, obviously my good friends at the table, and then looked over to them and had them, you know, I got some cups for them and all that, poured them a little bit, and just had an absolute blast. And didn't really know where to begin on my emotions, actually. I mean, you know, the first time winning it was just so much. And the second time winning it was just, happiness. And it was an amazement. You know, we had two corn dogs in this game, which was brilliant. I mean, I just remember thinking to myself, those play calls from Andy Reid were just freaking brilliant. And I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that in the fourth quarter, they called that same exact play, just flipped.
Yeah,
and the Eagles couldn't figure the hell that out.
A new person.
It was the exact same play, just the other way.
And another receiver.
Right, and it was Sky Moore's first ever touchdown, by the way. And I just remember like that going through my mind a lot. Like, we freaking did it because Andy Reid is a badass. He outcoached Nick Sirianni, and I called my dad, and you know, I felt like texting him was the wrong move. You know, I feel like in this situation you gotta call your dads, and I called my dad and. We had a nice long talk, and then you ran at me.
Yeah,
I dropped.
Showed up because I was right down the street.
You scared me, and I dropped my cell phone on the ground. It still works, but no, it was just in general, it was just incredible, and I was
amazing.
I was on a next level by the end of the night. That's all I can say. You guys know what I'm talking about, but
I want to leave you guys. I want to leave you guys with this, okay? I want the city of Kansas City to party. Like it's 1999. You want to know why? Because that's the last fucking time a regular season MVP won the fucking Super Bowl MVP. Sure. That was Kurt Warner back then in 1999. And now, who is it? Fucking Mahomes! Party right. Like it's 1999, baby.
That's right.
Twofold says he says, my foot was thumping like a dog getting its ear scratched, sweating like a whore in a church. Voice cracking like gosh. A pubescent teenager.
Hey, watch your mouth, dude. This is a family show.
Oh, I like that last sentence because, as you know, Tufel, I've done that before, and it was the best goddamn 6 months of my life. God damn it.
Oh, yes. Man, that was great. That's a great description. All right, guys, you ready to call it?
Yeah, guys.
I'm ready, man.
We told our story. We told our beliefs and thoughts. We celebrated.
We gave a whole show dedicated to Chiefs guys.
We're celebrating the rest of the week too, of course. Proper. But you know,
that's right.
You know, after this, we're just gonna enjoy this and you know, be proud. And after that, start focusing on how the hell Brad Veach is gonna get us back here again a year from now.
We'll be back next week with obviously more topics than Chiefs. So, but celebrate, guys. Enjoy it. This is what it's all about. This is what the week's all about. So.
Can we have Tomahawk going, Tanner?
Party like it's 1999, bro.
Are you ready to go?
Outro.
Yeah.
Kansas City, we love you guys.